there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Let's bring in our good buddy Ross Tucker, Westwood One, CBS Sports, and a former NFL lineman, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. And Ross took a beating on Twitter for your pregame Super Bowl spread. Pickle pizza? What the hell was going on at the Ross Tucker compound?
You know what, Dan? This was amazing, actually. I got a late text message like mid-morning on Sunday from a buddy that said he was having a low-key Super Bowl party. And the key is it started at 5:30. I made it very clear to him I would not be watching the game with other people. He was okay with that. So we took two separate cars. I was in one, my wife and daughters in the other. They had an unbelievable spread. They had mozzarella stick pizza, which I had one, which was actually, it was pepperoni and mozzarella sticks. But the specific pizza you're referring to is called Big Mac pizza. I guess his wife, Patty, likes Big Macs. That looked disgusting, and I did not partake at all. I actually, out of everything they had, I had like four pieces of stromboli. I feel like as a society, as a country, we don't talk enough we talk about pizza all the time. Pizza, pizza, pizza. I'm telling you right now, you put a pizza to the right, stromboli to the left, I am going stromboli. Stromboli's amazing.
Well, thanks for calling in. That's all I wanted to talk to you about. All right, you will remember this Super Bowl for what in particular?
Oh, great question. I think it depends a little bit on what happens moving forward, but a couple of things that jump out to me for sure. You know, I do the Eagles preseason games and I do their pregame show. I think Jalen Hurts coming of age. You know, I mean, the one silver lining for very disappointed Eagles fans right now is that there was always kind of that question, Dan, like, can Hurts really do it? Like, can he really do it in a big playoff game against Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Mahomes? Dan, he did it and then some. I mean, that might have been the best game I've seen him play, which, by the way, also makes it worse if you're an Eagles fan, that Hurts played the best game of his life and they still lost the game. But to throw for 300, some of the throws he made to Goddard, I mean, the throw he made to Quez Watkins, who didn't catch it when he was getting blasted on the blitz, incredible, the rushing. So even though they lost, I think the Hurts performance will resonate in the sense that we will look at them moving forward as a contender every year because Hurts can play at that level. And then unfortunately, Dan, I think I'll probably remember the anticlimactic ending. I mean, we were about to have maybe the best Super Bowl ever, maybe one of the best finishes, maybe overtime. And we it was a game clinching ticky tack hold. It just, very, very, very disappointing.
But I said that, will we remember the officiating? Will we remember the field itself? Now, obviously, you can say, well, remember what Mahomes did in the second half or Jalen Hurts. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can throw into the blender here. But, you know, the officiating, you know, as much as the commissioner wants to say was great this year, it wasn't great this year. And in the biggest moment, in the biggest game, it came down to, you know, a questionable, like, do you call it then? Do you make that call?
Well, first of all, no, the answer is no. And I want to be very clear about this. That didn't cost the Eagles the game. The Chiefs still would have kicked the field goal. They would have gone up by three with a minute and 40 left or whatever. What it did was it cost all of us the opportunity to see how the rest of the game would have unfolded. Do the Eagles go down, score a touchdown, and win? Do they go down and get a field goal? We go to overtime. Do they not? Is Hurts not able to get it done? Or they get a field goal and then Mahomes has 28 seconds and he gets a field goal? It just didn't feel like, you know, especially because the Chiefs were smart enough to not score after that. It just was like a game clinching hold. And here's the issue I have with it. And I know your basketball background, Dan. And honestly, you're the guy I'll probably listen to the most when it comes to the NBA stuff. Here's the issue, and you'll appreciate this. In the first half, there was a third down where Bradberry was covering Juju, the same two guys. And Bradberry gave him a pretty good tug, pulled it, and then let go.
Yes.
They didn't call it.
Yeah.
And even Greg Olsen said, ooh, I don't know about that one. That should have been called. As a player, you talk about these things with the coaches on the sideline and at halftime. You play the rest of the game based on the way the officials are calling it. This would be like an NBA game where every time you go to the lane, you know, you get bodied and they don't call foul, don't call foul, don't call foul. And then with, you know, the last possession of the game, they call a hand check, right? Like,
yeah.
Bradberry is playing the rest of that game based on the fact that they didn't call him for being more physical earlier. And then you call a much lesser transgression with less than 2 minutes. It just doesn't make sense. Number one, it's not consistent. And number two, the timing of it and the way it makes the players play, it's really problematic.
We're talking to Ross Tucker of Westwood One and CBS Sports. I agree with you. It's a great point. And all athletes want is consistency. If you're calling that, then I know that now I can adjust my game. It's when you're not calling it, you're not calling it, you're not calling it for 59 minutes, and then you call it. I have a problem with that. And I mentioned earlier, I had a problem, no helmet-to-helmet call on Devontae Smith when he got hit in the first quarter on the sidelines, knocked him out of bounds. Definitely, you know, helmet to helmet. And they overturned the catch by Devontae Smith, where Mike Pereira said the longer they're waiting, the more that it says. It is not conclusive that you overturn that. It just, sometimes it all adds up. Sometimes it doesn't add up at all. I go back to Hurts' fumble. I thought that they were only up 10, and I said only up 10 at halftime, and that was going to come back and hurt them. If they were up, no pun intended, 27-7, then it's a different game plan probably for Kansas City. The Eagles' defense did not show up. They looked confused. They didn't put pressure on Mahomes. They didn't get a sack on him. I thought the Eagles' defense was the biggest letdown of the night.
I would agree, and I would add to that that, you know, the Eagles needed to be more dominant up front on both sides of the ball than they were. They just weren't. You know, one of the things I think is interesting, I don't believe for a second, Dan, that the NFL wanted the footing to be that poor. That was an embarrassment for the league. I don't know how that happens. I'm not a, you know, I don't know stuff about that. But here's what I do know. As an offensive lineman, really offensive player, but especially offensive lineman, Dan, you love it when the footing's bad because the D linemen can't get off the ball. They can't get a jump off the snap if the footing's bad. Mm. And by the way, when the receivers are running their routes, you know, the defense has to react to them. So if the NFL wants high scoring Super Bowls, if they want points to be put up, then by all means, you know, have turf that guys are slipping like that because it's almost impossible to get a pass rush. And it's even very hard to play in the secondary. I mean, there really wasn't good coverage. Hurts threw for 300, could have been more. Patrick Mahomes, I hardly even remember any incompletions. It felt like he threw the ball to whoever he wanted wide open almost every time. So I'm not saying the NFL did it on purpose, But part of the reason why the game was higher scoring than many of us anticipated was the footing, in my mind.
These two teams moving forward, Kansas City revamped their lineup, their roster, let Tyreek Hill go. Andy Reid says he's staying. I don't know if Eric Bieniemy stays as the offensive coordinator, or maybe goes someplace else for that. But he's 20, you know, Mahomes is 27. Kelsey's a little bit older than what people think, but, you know, you got a pretty good roster. They did a great job in rebuilding that offensive line. I'm looking at DraftKings. They got the Chiefs as the favorites for the Super Bowl next year. What do you make of that lineup? And as we ease into the dynasty word for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, look, as far as I'm concerned, the Chiefs are the Super Bowl favorites for the foreseeable future. I mean, Mahomes is the best player by a decent amount. What Andy Reid did in that second half was masterful. I mean, masterful. Went against tendencies multiple times. I mean, when else do you get? By the way, bad look for the Eagles that they scored on the same exact play to the other side, right? Like,
yes.
I got the first one with Kadarius Toney. It was a new look. Eagles aren't expecting it. Okay, I got that. But then it was after the punt return, it was third and goal at like the 5. They ran the same play to the other side and they burned them for it again. That's bad. Like, this is pro football. This is not like halftime adjustments. This is, hey, they just ran this. They're going to come back to it. They get down there again, be looking for it. Bad look for the Eagles that that happened. But because of Mahomes and because of not only Andy Reid, but Brett Veach, their GM. I mean, the draft he had this year is ridiculous. The amount of contributions they got up and down the draft board, the whole secondary, Pacheco, Karlaftis. The Chiefs are the favorites moving forward as far as I'm concerned. Philadelphia is going to be in the mix every year in the NFC, but I don't know that they'll ever have a roster like this again, Dan. I mean, they have a lot of free agents. They're going to pay Hurts between $40 to $50 million a year, and rightfully so. They're not going to be, I mean, Gardner Johnson and Hargrave and Cox and T.J. Edwards and Miles Sanders and Seumalo, they're not going to be able to keep all these guys. So the Eagles will be in the mix. And they'll be in the mix because Roseman's really good at GM and Hurts can play that well. But I do think the Chiefs should be the favorite.
Good to talk to you. And again, it was great seeing you in Arizona. Thanks for, we'll be in touch. We'll bother you during the offseason.
Anytime. You know that, Dan, two things. Number one, congratulations on the granddaughter. That's incredible. And number two, at the meet and greet Monday after I left, while I was waiting for my Uber, there was like 80-100 people out there and you guys weren't out there yet. So while I was waiting for my Uber, they all wanted me. They all wanted to take selfies. It was amazing. I'm glad it was genius move by me to get out there before you and the Danettes were out there, because I was like the first actual person they knew that they saw. So I got my 3.5 minutes of fame. It was incredible.
You were the opening act for us, and thank you. Thank you. Thank you, buddy.
Definitely. Definitely.
That's Ross Tucker. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seton, did we change the poll question for hour two?
We sure did, Dan.
Okay. Did you tell me what we changed it to?
No, we got off on a tangent about federal holidays, I think.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
President's Day.
Yeah, we're going with this one. If you were betting, Patrick Mahomes will win two or more Super Bowls in the next 9 years or not win another Super Bowl. This is one from Paulie.
All right. Yeah, Paul.
This is based on Tom Brady having three Super Bowl wins and then going on a nine-year, it's hard to say the word drought, but for him, he went 9 years without winning one.
Yeah, I view that similar. Like Tiger Woods, he had a 10-year window where he was incredible, and then had a 10-year window where he didn't win anything. And I thought, what's more amazing, that he went 10 years without winning or what he did in those 10 years? Now, that's an individual in an individual sport, so it's different than Tom Brady. But I would bet that Patrick Mahomes will have at least one more Super Bowl or two. And we also have the Troy Aikman game that Paulie said, I didn't know we had a Troy Aikman game before we talked to Troy. Yes, Paulie.
Very exciting to have Troy Aikman day after the Super Bowl. So the game is, where did Troy Aikman watch the Super Bowl yesterday? And we have no knowledge.
Mm,
okay. I'd like to go first.
Okay.
I bet Troy hosted a small get-together, but like a local restaurant. Run out of room. He doesn't want a bunch of riffraff messing up his nice
but
house.
Do you have to have a football, like a Wunderlich test before you get into Troy's party so he doesn't have to answer stupid questions?
That's a great idea.
Okay.
I'm going to go local restaurant he hosted.
Okay. Fritzy.
I think somewhere in Dallas. So like maybe a big sports bar or something.
No, that wouldn't happen. Yes, Seton.
I think Troy went to the game.
Okay.
I think he was there.
Huh. I don't think he went. Mark.
Alone in his house.
Alone in his house.
Okay.
I'm going to say with family at maybe in Cabo. How about that? Maybe he's with Joe Buck in Cabo. Let's bring in Troy Aikman, who's playing the Troy Aikman game. Troy, where did you watch the game?
I watched it in Santa Barbara. I've got a place here. Watched it with some friends. So I typically, a little bit of some accuracy on all your all's parts. I usually have a party back at my place in Dallas, invite a bunch of people over, but I did not do that this year. But I got a chance to actually sit and watch the game, so it was good.
But do people bother you when you host a party?
No. If I thought they would, I wouldn't invite them to the party.
Okay. Do you like that idea of a Wunderlich test to get into a Troy Aikman party?
Yeah, I hadn't heard it put quite like that, but I do like that, Dan. That's good. It's genius on your part. That's going to start happening next year.
I like that. Joining us on behalf of 8 Elite Light Beer, and a lot's happened with this lager that you brought to the marketplace, certainly in the state of Texas.
Yeah, we've just had our one-year anniversary. So, you know, you were a part of it, of course, when I came on the show last year at the Super Bowl and talked about it and hoping that it would be received the way that we hoped that it might. And it has been. So we've surpassed all of our expectations. It's been very well received. Obviously, as you know, it's a light lager, 90 calories, 2.6 carbs for people that are active. And now we're looking at moving it into other markets, and we're excited about that. So year two. As is always the case, we're not the new kid on the block anymore, and we've got a lot of work left ahead of us.
Somebody sent me a six-pack of your beer a couple of weeks ago. Do you know?
I'm hoping you don't still have five left, Dan.
No, but there was a six-pack on my doorstep here at the Man Cave.
Good.
But I don't know who sent it.
Well, we sent it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
You're
well,
welcome.
Well, we polished it off that day.
Yeah, good.
Oh,
good,
yeah, yeah. I was like, you left kittens on a doorstep. And I'm like, oh, I got send a 12-pack next time, okay? What were you thinking at halftime last night?
Well, I mean, I don't – depends on how you're looking at it, from whose perspective. What I thought was that a lot of really good things had happened for Philadelphia, and I also knew, as was the conversation throughout the last couple of weeks, that with Patrick Mahomes, there's not a lead that's really, you know, that insurmountable. We had them when they played against the 49ers. We called that game. Joe and I did, so we certainly understand it. The looking at the game, Dan, the thing that I was most impressed with sitting there watching it was just how good Kansas City's offensive line was. I just didn't feel like at any point. Now, there were some times, you know, Mahomes had to move around, but that's every week, every quarterback. But I thought for a vaunted pass rush like Philadelphia had, to not come away with a sack and really not impact that game, I thought that was the real key in the Chiefs being able to win the game.
There were a couple of moments. We'll get to the holding penalty, but there were a couple of moments where I thought the Eagles' defense was really confused by a couple of different sets that the Chiefs had.
Yeah.
Now, had they shown any of those sets previous to this game, in your opinion?
You're talking about in the red zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that – I didn't think what they did on those plays, Dan, they weren't that challenging. I mean, those are staple plays down in the red zone where you start a guy like you're going to, you know, jet sweep him across, or he's going to drag across the field. He comes out of it. They're good calls. They're expected man coverage. That's what they get. And the Eagles didn't play it very well, you know, and a lot of that is simply that's where the speed of the Chiefs comes in. Because those guys are so fast that in order to be able to keep up with them down there, when you're trying to run with them across the field, you kind of got to get a head start on them. So that's why they get out ahead. Well, then they pivot and they come back out of it twice and for easy touchdowns. So the other part of that, of course, was the red zone efficiency of Kansas City. I mean, they came away with touchdowns once they got down there.
Mahomes in the second half, what was he seeing that made it so much simpler than the first half?
Well, I think what happens, especially in a big game, it happens every week, but especially when you get into a game like the Super Bowl, and granted, even though Mahomes has played in prior Super Bowls, it's still a little bit of a different animal. So I think that when you start the game, things are going pretty fast. You don't always see things as clearly, and then as the game goes along, it slows down, and it becomes much like any other game at that point. And I felt that in the second half, you know, not that he struggled that much in the first half. I thought he was pretty good throughout, but I just felt that he was seeing the field really well, was getting time to throw, more importantly. And then the other part of it as well is I thought, you know, my thoughts on Kansas City going into the game was you knew what Philadelphia wanted to do, and they wanted to run the ball. You know what Kansas City likes to do, and they like to throw the ball. And why wouldn't they when Mahomes is their quarterback? But I've seen them when they've run the ball and they've been highly successful. And I was wondering if Andy Reid would be willing to stick with that. And he was. I felt they had to be balanced to take the pressure off this offensive line. And I thought it was just a textbook offensive game plan and the way that he called it throughout that game last night.
Talking to Troy Aikman, Jalen Hurts, aside from the fumble, Those are some big-time plays in the biggest game of your life. What did you think?
Big-time plays. Dallas Goedert made some amazing catches in that game. I thought, you know, Philadelphia has nothing to be ashamed of. That's the disappointing thing when you get into the Super Bowl and you lose. But I will say this, that, and I'd said it during the week on another show that I was on, and I think it's really true. Jimmy Johnson would always say to us before these games, it's not who makes the most big plays, it's who makes the fewest bad plays when you're talking about big games. And when you look at this game, and I really felt that would be the story. Everybody talks about the plays this guy can make or that guy can make. And so many times it's who makes the fewest bad plays, and that bad play by Jalen Hurts obviously ended up being the difference in the score.
Yeah, because I thought it felt like they should have been up more than 10.
I agree.
You know,
I agree. They had dominated the first half in a lot of ways and didn't fully take advantage of that. And when you're playing against good teams, especially good teams quarterbacked by one of the real greats, those things come back to haunt you.
All right, let's get to the holding call that was called on James Bradberry. We've had athletes who've joined us, current, former, and you guys just want a consistent game called. Like, you know, right, what's going to be called and what's not going to be called. And then that one kind of came out of nowhere. There were no holding calls in that game. And then all of a sudden we have that. You have any problem with that call?
Well, it was interesting because when Fox replayed it and then Mike Pereira got on, initially when they replayed it, I didn't think they went to the start of really kind of where the hold that was called took place.
Yep.
So I agreed with Mike saying, hey, if you go back and you show it sooner in the route, and then they showed it, and I just didn't see what I thought I saw initially. Now, I will say I don't think there was a great look at it. I think there was one angle. I didn't see a good look at a real hole for that moment in the game. So I personally didn't like the call. I don't know though, Dan, if you say, hey, you can't make that call at that point in the game. I don't know that I agree with that premise, because I think holding is holding, and that's what the official's job is. You have to be willing to make a call if in fact it happened. But from what I could tell and what I saw, I didn't think there was enough there to basically hand the Super Bowl over to Kansas City. The game was over at that point. I didn't feel like there was, to me, it had to be pretty egregious to where there was just no doubt. And I think the fact that we're sitting here having this conversation, and I'm sure people are all across the country, probably tells you there wasn't quite enough there.
Yeah. Dean Blandino, Fox's rules analyst, going to join us here coming up in a little bit. Also, the longer halftime show, it seemed like that would have benefited Mahomes, who had the tender ankle. And that must feel interminable when you're just sitting there. And did you get to hear the music at all? Did you care who the halftime show was in your Super Bowls?
Couldn't care less. And I probably, my first Super Bowl was probably the best halftime show in the history of Super Bowls, and that was Michael Jackson. All I wanted to do was win a Super Bowl, Dan. I know what that meant. I know what that meant to a quarterback. Now, Michael Irvin, on the other hand, he says that he went out and snuck out there to where he could watch the halftime show, and I don't remember that. But I'm not at all surprised by that. You know, that would be expected.
If you had input on the Cowboys in the offseason, let's say one or two things that you said to Jerry Jones, you got to do this, or Stan Pat, whatever it is, what would you say?
Yeah, I think they've got to – I don't think they addressed the wide receiver position. When Amari Cooper left, I've always said, Dan, back when I was playing, that your offense is only as good as your third receiver. And now I would say that might very well be you're only as good as your fourth receiver. And it doesn't have to be a wide receiver. It could be a tight end. But you've got to have four pretty solid weapons in today's game if you're going to be the offense that you really need to be to move the football. And so they lose Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup was coming off a major knee injury. You know, he wasn't the same guy that we had seen from him. The workload really came down to CeeDee Lamb. So I believe that they will. They tried to when they brought in T.Y. Hilton. There was talk about Odell Beckham. They recognized, I think, throughout the year where they were limited. And now I think the running back, they're going to have to make some hard decisions in addition to that, to players that have been impactful for them, and do they keep them? Guys, for instance, like Zeke Elliott, you know, what's going to happen with him?
Wright Thompson did a wonderful profile on Joe Montana during Super Bowl week. And Joe was forever the greatest quarterback of all time. And then Tom Brady blew by him. And Wright Thompson pointed out that Joe kind of struggling with that, like you lose your identity as the greatest quarterback of all time. As we see, you know, the game get farther and farther away from guys like you who have played, like, do you ever worry about your place? You're a Hall of Famer, but do you ever worry about, like, where you are in history?
Well, I would say this, Dan, that for, I've got that article. I haven't yet read it. I've heard it's fantastic. So I'm excited, really excited about reading it. I also, Joe Montana was in the league when I came into the league. I watched him when I was in high school and college. I've always felt for the longest time that he was the greatest to have ever done it. And then you lose sight of guys like Otto Graham and those type players that we just didn't get a chance to see. And then I called the game when Tom Brady won his fifth Super Bowl. And I said at that time, I don't think we can dispute it now. This is the greatest that's ever done it. And then he's gone on, of course, and then really solidified that opinion. Am I worried? Dan, no one's ever thought I was the greatest. So this is real easy for me. This is, you know, it's never been that important to me on where I've placed in the list of great quarterbacks. I'm proud of my career. I went into the Hall of Fame. I joined the Cowboys. I was drafted by the Cowboys to win Super Bowls. I was able to win three of them. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. I mean, in my opinion, that's all that matters, because that's why we play and that's why we were drafted and that's why we get paid, is to go win championships. And I was able to win three of them. And that stacks up pretty good in the history of quarterbacks. But beyond that, if somebody says, hey, you know, you don't deserve this, or you weren't, I don't really care. I'm broadcasting, you know, I'm broadcasting games. I'm not the guy who really wants to sit back and talk about 25 years ago. It's just never been really my thing. And people say, really? Well, why is that? And I said, well, you know, it'd almost be like if every person who's listening to this, if they were told, you know, hey, let's go back and talk about your junior high days and what those meant to you. And you say, man, they were fun times, but, you know, I've kind of moved on from then. And so that's where I'm at. I don't pay a lot of attention to all that. I admire the great quarterbacks and the people that are doing it. Where I'm at and all of that is really pretty irrelevant.
You got one quarterback to win one game, and you can't pick you.
I would, it's a great question. I would say I would either take Joe Montana. I'd probably take Joe Montana. I think Tom Brady would be a close second, but I saw Joe do things. Of course, we've all seen Tom do it as well. One of those two guys, I'd probably go with Joe.
It's great to talk to you again, and good luck with the beer. It's called 8 Elite Light Lager, and it's Troy Aikman, done an incredible job the first year and starting to branch out, building the fastest independent beer ever launched in the state of Texas. Troy, great to talk to you. Have a great off season.
Thank you, Dan. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hi, this is Jay Glazer, and you may know me from the world of football or fighting or even shows like HBO's Ballers. What you don't know is for my entire life, I have lived in something I refer to as the gray. Depression, anxiety. So now I'm coming out with a new podcast, Unbreakable, a mental health podcast with Jay Glazer, where each week, while we talk about mental health, I hope to describe it, give it words. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst and former vice president of officiating for the NFL. He was part of Fox's Super Bowl pregame show. He joins us on the program. Dean, thanks for getting up. If I gave you a grade, you were going to give me a grade for the first 59 minutes of officiating in the last minute of the Super Bowl, would those grades be the same for the officials?
I think they would. I thought overall the game, they officiated a good game. For the most part, I think the calls were right. But obviously when you have a call like that at the end of a game, that's going to be controversial. It felt like we were robbed of a classic finish, right? And I think that's what people are upset about is, you know, throw the flag in that situation. We go from the Chiefs most likely kicking the go-ahead field goal, and then Jalen Hurts and the Eagles getting the ball back. Instead, we got two kneel downs, running out the clock, a field goal. And I think that's part of the debate today is, do you throw the flag in that situation?
Would you?
To me, it's hard to sit there and watch James Bradberry grab the jersey and say that's not a foul. I mean, there's no way I can sit here and say it's not a foul for holding. And if it's a foul in the first quarter, it has to be a foul in the fourth quarter. You want to be consistent. You don't want your officials to be officiating the situation. They have to compartmentalize and say, okay, I'm going to officiate this play. And if there's a foul, I have to call it. But again, I think we all felt, myself included as a fan, is if I'm wondering if he doesn't throw the flag in that situation, are we even talking about that play? It's one of the, probably not, but when you watch the replay and you see the jersey grab, that by rule is a foul.
Players just want consistency. Yeah. And there were no holding calls prior to that in the first 59 minutes. And then all of a sudden you have one there. If it's true you can call holding on every call, then how do you arbitrate that? How do you go, no, that's sort of a, no, I'm not going to call that. Explain that to me.
That's the biggest challenge. You know, there was a player early, it might have been Kansas City's first or second drive on third down where it looked like the Eagles got away with a hold, a pass interference. And I'm sure you could go back and see similar actions throughout the game. And I'm sure that's, you know, that's what people are doing right now. Biggest challenge in officiating, it's that consistency piece that if you're going to let it go the whole game, you can't throw the flag in a critical situation. You want to be officiating the same standard the entire game. Now, I haven't gone through the entire coaching tape and looked at every play yet. And if there were a bunch of holds that were missed, then why are we calling that one at the end and not calling those others? Because that's what we all want, consistency.
Explain to me having all-star crews as opposed to honoring just a great crew during the regular season.
Yeah, this has been a debate, and we've gone back and forth. My time at the officiating department, my colleague at Fox Sports, Mike Pereira, and the crew. I like the cohesion of the crew. I like the crew working together. The communication is better. If you and I work together all year, we're going to know what each other's thinking, and we're not going to have to kind of learn. There's the learning curve is not as steep, but there's something to be said for having your best officials in your toughest and most important games. I still think there's a balance. I think you need that crew continuity. I think whenever you can keep the crews intact, there's a grading system and evaluation system. They're put into tiers. This is something that's negotiated with the NFL Referees Association. They want the individual based system in the postseason, and that was negotiated in the CBA. So the league is kind of, their hands are tied on this, but again, you do have some flexibility in taking your top rated officials, but keeping the crews together whenever possible.
Is there anybody that gets together with the officials prior to the playoffs or prior to a Super Bowl and say, let's not make the game about us, let's fewer calls? Is that message sent?
Well, I wouldn't say the message of fewer calls is sent, but I think that the general philosophy, as long as I've been involved, and I know it predates me, is that officiating is not to be the story, right? We don't want to interject ourselves into the game. We don't want to be overly technical, but you have to throw flags when they're there. And there's this misconception of, we're going to let the players decide the game. And people tend to think, okay, that means don't throw flags. But if you don't throw flags, then inevitably teams pick up on that. They're going to get aggressive, especially in the secondary with defensive holding and things like that. And they're going to gain an unfair advantage. I mean, that's why we have, you know, speeding tickets, you know, on highways. And if there was no fear of getting a speeding ticket, we'd all be driving. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. I know I'd be driving 100 miles an hour, but it's just one of those things that you never want the officiating to be the story, but never in my time has anyone said, hey, we're not going to throw flags today. We're going to let them play, because you allow a team to gain an advantage when you do that, when you go into a game like that.
Have you ever gone to a Super Bowl party with a group of people and they find out what you used to do?
Yes. Yes.
How annoying.
Any party, really.
How annoying is that?
I love talking about football, but especially now when we've gone through, I can't think how many weeks and months. Like, I'm on the plane ride home, if somebody, hey, what do you do? I'm an accountant. And, you know, I'm something that has nothing to do with football.
Dean, thanks for getting up with us. We appreciate your explanations there.
You got it, Dan. Take
That's Dean Blandino.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.